Because we're beginning a new sugya in terms of Kibra Vahim, but the basic principle we're going to begin with is a throwback to what we spoke about in the past. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechas Yevamos, commenting on the pasuk Ish Imov Aviv Tirovish, Absosi Tishbarani Hashem, when one has a clash between the mitzvah of Kibra Vahim and other mitzvahs in the Torah, other not the other, other Yisur in the Torah, so Ani Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cover comes first, Kulchem Chem Bechvaldi. And therefore, if a parent tells one to violate an Aveira, even though the examples that the Gemara gives are outright Aveiras min HaTorah, the Rambam adds on and says, well, it's true if the parent tells you to violate an Aveira to Rabbanan, and it's true if the parent tells you not to fulfill a mitzvah min HaTorah, and it's true if the parent tells you not to fulfill a mitzvah to Rabbanan, and any of the above, anytime there's a conflict, a clash between Kuchem Chem Yichvodi and Kibra Vahim, so Kibra Vahim is going to lose out to Kvod Shanayim. The examples or the applications of this halacha up until now have been discussing a case where the parent is telling you to do something that's wrong, either actively or passively. The parent is going up against the mitzvah HaTorah. We spoke a little bit about how can that be? If the parent is doing that, doesn't that automatically make the parent to a Rasha? So we have different ways of understanding that. Or maybe you're still having Kibra Vahim even though they're a Rasha. Or maybe the parent is a Shagig. They don't even realize what they're doing is wrong. So again, those are technical issues. But all the applications that we've had so far have been when the parent is giving you a direct contradiction to a mitzvah Torah, mitzvah derabban, issa derais, or issa derabban. But then the Gemara continues in Maseches Kedushin with another potential application of this rule. What if nobody's telling you to do anything bad? Parents are a very, very fine person. They're telling you to perform Kibra Vahim, and it happens to be that at the same time there's a mitzvah in front of you. So, Amalo Aviv Ashkeni Mayim, why the fun of mitzvah? So it's time for me to put on, I want to put on tefillin now. At the same time, my parent is telling me, please bring me a cup of water. It's time for me to go here to shofar, to go shake a lulav, eat the matzah. And the parent is telling me to do Kibra Vahim. So what happens then? Well, how do the rules of Atem, Kulcham, Mechayim, Bichvodi apply here as well? So here the Gemara draws a distinction. And the Gemara tells us, oh, there are different types of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that are Efshaya De'achayim. Sometimes a mitzvah comes up that can be done by somebody else just as efficiently as done by me. So we've spoken about some of these examples in the past in other contexts. Let's say you have a certain amount of tzedakah has to be raised. So there's a big mitzvah, you have to get the X amount of money. It doesn't mean that I have to run around being the gabbai tzedakah. It doesn't mean I have to run around knocking on people's doors. There may be somebody who's just as good as me who could do the job. So the mitzvah can be fulfilled, albeit without me. Sometimes you have a situation where the mitzvah could technically be fulfilled without me, but not as well. I'm a better fundraiser than the other guy. But if you have a situation where the mitzvah will just as equally be fulfilled without me, so that mitzvah is efshar de'achayrim. And then the Gemara says, it's better that I do the Kibra Vahim. Because I'll do the Kibra Vahim. The mitzvah is going to get done anyway. Everyone's happy. The Baruch Shalom is going to have Kaviyachal. His mitzvah is going to be taken care of. The parents' mitzvah is going to be taken. Everyone's going to be, it's win-win for everybody. But what if you have a situation where that's not possible, where it's a mitzvah she'i efshar de'achayrim? So I have to shake a lulav today. I can't ask somebody else to shake the lulav for me. Even though I could shake the lulav tomorrow. First of all, tomorrow min haTorah is not even going to be a mitzvah. And even if it would be, it's a different mitzvah. So let's say it comes time to eat the matzah tonight. And at the same time that I'm about to sit down and eat the matzah, my parent tells me they need a tremendous amount of help. So now what does a person do? So if it's Epshur, L'kayim Shneim, if you can end up doing both, great, wonderful. What if it's push comes to shove, it's one or the other? So now you have to choose between a mitzvah, she'ief shalasas adecheirim. The mitzvah will not be fulfilled if you don't do it yourself right now. And the mitzvah of Kibra Vahim. So here the Gemara is raising a question in terms of hierarchy of mitzvahs. Which mitzvah is more important? Which mitzvah takes precedence? So we know there is a principle in mitzvahs called hierarchy of mitzvahs. Sometimes people think that when the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that have Zor b'mitzvah kalik and chamura, that we should be as careful about the lighter mitzvahs as the more serious mitzvahs, what that means to say is that all mitzvahs are created equal. That's not true. All mitzvahs are not created equal. There are hierarchy of mitzvahs. What the Mishnah is telling us is, don't take the attitude of just going to go for the big bucks. I'm not going to go for the lower level mitzvahs. I'm only going to go for the big super duper mitzvahs. That's not right. Because in the end of the day, in the terms of schara mitzvahs, in the terms of reward mitzvahs, we don't know what the Rabban Shul Cheshbon is. Like the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu judges each person by lefi hazchuyos, lefi havonos. So a person can be a benini, a person can be right smack in the middle, and 50-50. So the Rambam writes that that's how most people have to assume. We have to think of ourselves as being benanim. We should think of our friends as being tzaddikim. We should think of ourselves as being benanim. We shouldn't think of ourselves as being rishayim. Or they rush in for the atzmacha. If a person thinks they're a Rasha, then they won't improve. They're a lost cause. So a person shouldn't think they're a great tzaddik. They shouldn't think they're a big Rasha. They should think they're Beinoni. That's why the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that's the gift of the Aseres Metshuva. Rosh Hashanah is for the tzaddikim gemur. Once Rosh Hashanah comes, the tzaddikim are ready, nechtavim, nechtamim, li'alt, l'chaim, tovim, l'shalom. That's why when we wish people on Rosh Hashanah, we wish them a ksiva v'chasima tova, because we assume that they're going to be nechtam l'chaim tovim. We assume everybody else is a tzaddik. Ourselves, we can best hope for a ksiva tova. If we hope for everybody else, we wish them a chasima tova. So the Rambam quote of the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells us that on Rosh Hashanah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at all of us, the tzaddikim are Sifrei Chaim, that's the Rishayim, Nebuch, and everybody else is the abandonment. We need 10 days, we get a 10-day second chance, called the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So the Rambam writes, when a person makes a cheshbon, when the Rambam makes a cheshbon, how many mitzvahs, how many averus a person has, so the Rambam writes that it's not a one-for-one. It's not that a person should take the attitude, well, let's say, so I gave a little bit of tzedakah this morning, and I killed somebody this afternoon. Okay, Baruch Hashem, one for one. I put on tefillin today, and I was Mechal Shabbos. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what the cheshbon is. That yesh mitzvah achas, that's connected many, many averus. Yesh aver achas, that's connected many, many, many mitzvahs. So in terms of, in the end of the day, we all end up equal. We all end up 50-50. I think I've told all the story here once, that when I was a little boy, so somebody must have been sitting in shul, somebody must have quoted this Rambam. So I heard about this, about how Kadosh Baruch Hu counts up every mitzvah. So I figured, okay, I better try to keep track. I guess I wasn't in shul for the second half, but the Rambam told us that no human being knows how the cheshbon goes. So I was a little kid, so I thought naively, every mitzvah enables me to do another bad thing in school. So I guess somebody else must have told me that there's a mitzvah to kiss the mezuzah when you walk through the mezuzah. I remember one day, I must have gotten into trouble in school or something, so I was a couple of brownie points behind. So I remember walking back and forth past the door and kissing the mezuzah. I figured 20 times, a little extra mezuzah counts, so that'll get me out of some trouble that I did. I got a little bit old, I realized it doesn't exactly work that way. Anyway, getting back to the story. So when we speak about that means in Shemayim, in the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't know what the reward for mitzvah says. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us it would be foolish of us to only go after the quote-unquote big mitzvahs, because according to us, they may seem like big rewards, but it's not necessarily true in Shemayim. But that's all true in the realm of Shemayim, in the realm of this world, in the realm of Halacha, in the realm of Shulchan Aruch. So there are mitzvahs chamuras and there are mitzvahs kalas. There is a hierarchy of mitzvahs. A mitzvah that has associated with it a din of kares is more chamur in Olam Hazeh than a mitzvah without kares. Mitzvah shel rabim is more chamur than a mitzvah shel yachid. There are klolim in halacha as to which are considered to be higher level mitzvahs and which are not. And there are nafkaminas ladina. There are sugyas in the beginning of Yevamos about asei docha los asei, that a positive mitzvah overrides a prohibition, but only if it's a low sase kal, only if it's a low level lav. If it's a high level lav, they're not, and then there are different criteria how to determine what's called low level, what's called higher level. So there definitely is a hierarchy of mitzvahs. So one of the klolim of hierarchy of mitzvahs that the Gemara Kedushin tells us is this idea that kibud av eim is almost on the bottom. Again, it doesn't mean that kibud av eim is not a chashuv mitzvah. It's a very, very chashuv mitzvah. L'man yirich and yomecha, it made it to the aseres hadibros, whichever side of the aseres hadibros it made it to. We're talking about who's going to show me that? Oh, you show me that. Whoever show me the article. No, we know which side it's on. Just that was an interesting article. Bring it for the group later. But anyway. So there's no question that kibud av eim is a chashuv mitzvah, but in terms of losing out to other mitzvahs, it loses out. Why is that? Because of this principle called kulchem chayav b'chvaydi. Because there's a rule that kibud av eim is ultimately a kavod done to bas adam, and the bas adam himself or herself is ultimately chayav in kol shemayim. So that teaches us that in the hierarchy, in the order of mitzvahs, so kibud av eim is almost towards the bottom. Therefore, the Gemara tells us in Gedushin, based on that pasuk, that if Efshel Kaim Shneim, if the mitzvah can get fulfilled and the kibud av eim can be fulfilled, everyone can be happy, make everybody happy. But if it's at the end of the day, you have to choose one over the other, then kibud av eim is going to lose. Now the question becomes: this din that if you have a clash between kibud av eim and a different mitzvah, so kibud av eim loses, how does that principle fit in to another principle in halacha called Isaac b'mitzvah potter b'na mitzvah? The Gemara tells us in the second parak of Masechet Sukkah, first parak of Masechet Brachas, that there's a din called Isik v'mitzvah, patur and a mitzvah. If a person is already involved in doing one mitzvah, then one doesn't stop. We'll see in a moment what that means, one doesn't stop, whether one's allowed to stop, not allowed to stop, we'll see in a second. There's a principle called Isik v'mitzvah, patur and a mitzvah. The Gemara derives this from Pesukim. It says in the Chumash that you say Kriyashma v'lechtach avaderech, when you're walking on your way. What do you mean you're walking anyway? You say Krishma when you're walking, you know? You say Krishma when you're walking, you say Krishma sitting in shul. It means, so one of the drashas that the Gemara tells us of Lechtach HaVaderech refers to is just as Lechtach HaVaderech has the image of a person, they're going on their way, they're doing their own thing. They're walking to work, they're walking to, taking a tiyul, they're walking around for a shpatzir. Lechtach HaVaderech, oh, comes around Krishma, you have to stop to say Krishma. The implication is that if you're not of Lechtach HaVaderech, I'm not walking on my way. I'm on my way to go do a mitzvah. I'm on my way to go do a tremendous mitzvah. So then the Torah says, you don't have to stop and say Krishma. When you're going on your derech, you have to stop and say Krishma. When you're going on the Rav Shlomo's derech, then Isik v'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. So this is one of the sources for this principle, which the Gemara derives in Sukkah Dav Chavei, no longer applies only to Krishma. It applies to all mitzvahs. That's what the Mishnah says. That if a person is holach l'dvar mitzvah, he's part of a yeshiva basukkah. He doesn't have to sit in the sukkah, he doesn't have to do other mitzvahs, as long as he's an Isik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. Then the Gemara has another chiddush in Maseches Brachas, that Isik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, doesn't only apply to somebody who's actively doing a mitzvah, but even if a person is thinking about doing a mitzvah, if he just stops thinking just like that, that's not a poter. But he's otherwise, I won't do any mitzvahs, but he's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Means he's involved in thinking and planning out doing a mitzvah that takes his whole concentration. He's also, it's a flinging about doing this mitzvah. He won't be able to concentrate on the other mitzvah. It's going to detract from his machshav l'dvar mitzvah. So that's also a poter of Isik mitzvah b'dvar mitzvah. That's already a second chiddush. That's already a second level of Isik mitzvah b'dvar mitzvah. That's the famous mission in Brachas about a chasson, the night that a person gets married. So technically, Mikra Din, he doesn't have to recite Krishma, doesn't have enough in my roof, even though right now he's not doing a mitzvah, the wedding's over already, he's not doing any mitzvah right now, but since he's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah, he's thinking about the tir d'bir rishona, so that's considered to also be a second level of Isik b'mitzvah, patur b'dvar mitzvah. It's that second level that the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that we don't really practice b'zman hazeh, because for us to take advantage of this p'tur of a chasan and say, well, I'm Torah b'dvar tir d'shal mitzvah, so I don't have to say Shema, that would almost imply that every other night of my life, I'm so involved in the kavana. I have such a kavana for Krishma. On the night of my chasana, I can't muster up the kavana for a 20-minute Krishma with azah, you know, miyachid rebosham, shemai bars. It's hard for me to do that. It's never come potter. But whereas tomorrow night, I'm going to be right back to regular. My marif tomorrow night is also going to be a 3-second marif. But Krishma is not going to be so great tomorrow night either. So the same way I have a 3-second Krishma tomorrow night, I have a 3-second Krishma tonight also. So Shulchan Aruch writes that it's not appropriate for us to take advantage of this quote-unquote p'tur, because for us, the tir d'shal kavanas mitzvah doesn't really exist. But in theory, it did exist. In theory, the din, the second din exists, and in practice, even the first din exists. A person is really, truly Isik b'mitzvah. They talk about that from other mitzvahs. So come to Pesach and raise the following question. How does this rule play out in terms of Kibbutz Avayim? So as long as the person is not yet chosen which mitzvah to do. So he wakes up in the morning, he looks at his to-do list, and he sees he has to go do the mitzvah X, that's on his list, and his parents just text him in the middle of the night, please be here at the 7 o'clock in the morning to help Kibbutz Avayim, that's going to take the entire day. So what does he do? So the din is that he has to put on tefillin today. It's Yev Shal Asa Sadeh Achirim. He has to say Kriyashma today. It's Yev Shal Sadeh Achirim. He has to daven. Yev Shal Sadeh Achirim. So he's allowed to take care of these mitzvahs, take care of the parents. If for whatever reason his parents need him an emergency, because Nefesh is always doing everything. His parents need him right now at 7 o'clock and he can still daven at 8 o'clock. It's Yev Shal Kayim Shneim. Okay. But it's Yev Shal Kayim Shneim. He knows that by going to his parents first thing in the morning, he's going to be there till 10 o'clock tonight. And he won't have a chance to daven. So what should he do? So the din is, it's Yev Shal Sadeh Achirim. So he has to daven Krishma, put on tefillin, daven, etc. But what if he already started doing the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim? He already started in the middle of the night. His parents called him at 4 o'clock in the morning. So he already started the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim, and now it comes time to daven. So he's involved. He's actively involved. And there's no time. There's no break. He doesn't stop. He's actively involved in Kibbutz Avayim. Comes time to put on tefillin. So now what do you say? Do you say that, well, Isik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah, Kol's man that he's doing the Kibbutz Avayim, so tefillin doesn't address it, doesn't talk to him. He doesn't have to put on tefillin. He doesn't have to say Krishma. Isik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. What do I say? No. Isik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah is trumped by the din of Ani Hashem, Kulchem Chayom Mechvodi. It means that you Obviously, mitzvah part of a mitzvah means when the mitzvahs are pretty much on par with one another. So I'm trying to do mitzvah X, and now mitzvah Y comes my way. Just do mitzvah X and forget about mitzvah Y. But if there's a hierarchy of the kibbutz of aim versus other mitzvahs, so we said the kibbutz of aim is always on the bottom of the list, because kulchem chayav b'chvodi always overrides the aspect, as great as kibbutz of aim is, but it always loses out to other mitzvahs because of kulchem chayav b'chvodi. So the basic question that we're now raising is that which kibbutz of aim is on the bottom of the list, is that only true because I haven't started it yet? But once I start it, so then it's a whole different ball, and then the rules are different. Once I start kibbutz of aim, then the regular rules of Isaac and mitzvah kick in, and that exempts me from all subsequent mitzvahs. So how do we resolve the seeming clash, this conflict between two principles? On the one hand, Isaac and mitzvah, part of mitzvah teaches me, once you start mitzvah X, you finish it, you don't do anything else. On the other hand, mitzvah X, in this case, was a mere kibbutz of aim, and kibbutz of aim usually loses to other mitzvahs. So what would the din be? So the Gemara doesn't talk about this. The Gemara talks about, I haven't done it, I haven't started yet. I'm looking at my list, I have two mitzvahs. Do I choose X, do I choose Y? So you choose the non-kibbutz of aim. But if I already chose X, I already started X, I already did kibbutz of aim, I'm starting kibbutz of aim, and now I want to know, should I stop it? So does the rule of Isaac mitzvah kick in or not? So it could be that the answer to this question may be less of a kibbutz of aim sugya, and more of an Isaac b'mitzvah part of a mitzvah sugya. There is a fundamental question. When we talk about Isaac b'mitzvah part of a mitzvah, it's a fundamental chakira. How do we understand this halacha? That I'm doing mitzvah X, and now mitzvah Y comes my way. So do I say that mitzvah Y, mamish, doesn't exist? Mitzvah Y, at this time, kol zman that I'm doing mitzvah X, the Bosham hasn't been mitzvah me and mitzvah. Mitzvah Y is a non-entity. Mitzvah Y is almost like a davar shel reshus. It's not even on the radar screen. It doesn't exist. For me, it doesn't exist bechlal. It's like Moshe Lamada Bedomer, a kotem, someone under the age of my mitzvah, except for chinuch purposes, someone under the age of my mitzvah, the Rebbe Hashem is not talking to him. So the 8-year-old boy, the Rebbe Hashem is not saying to him, Tita Matzah. Maybe Midrabani should eat the matzah, but Min HaTorah, the Torah is just not speaking to him. So too, the Torah is not speaking to me. I'm doing my mitzvah right now. The fact that there happens to be another mitzvah out there, theoretically on the books, it's theoretically for other people, but not for me. So that quote-unquote mitzvah, lagabi me, is like a davar shel reshus. Is that the pshat of Isaac mitzvah, potter min mitzvah? What do I say? No, Isaac mitzvah, potter min, doesn't mean that the mitzvah doesn't exist. Of course the mitzvah exists. Of course I'm a bar chiyuva. If I'm a man and comes time to put on tefillin, so that mitzvah speaks to me as well. There's a din, there's a temporary p'tua right now. The Torah says, if you're doing X, so the Rosham says, we can look the other way. You don't have to bother doing the mitzvah right now. You're doing mitzvah X, so you're potter min a sukkah right now. Doesn't mean that sukkah doesn't speak to you. Sukkah doesn't speak to you. It's sukkis. You're Jewish. You're a male. You're chayv and mitzvah tishah is bangrama. So sukkah speaks to you also. It happens to be that right here and now, for this temporary time, you're quote unquote potter. But it's still considered to be a dvashal mitzvah. Just right now, it's a mitzvah that you happen to be potter from. So it sounds like a very academic, very lomdish question. What's the nature of Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah? Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah mean the mitzvah mamish doesn't exist for my purposes, or the mitzvah exists, albeit right now, I don't technically have to do it. So the chora, that should be the answer to our question, whether I'm doing the mitzvah of kibbutz of aim right now. I'm doing kibbutz of aim, and now all of a sudden it comes time to put on tefillin. So what do I say? Can I apply the rule of Isaac for mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, or not? So if you hold that Isaac for mitzvah, part of a mitzvah means that any time I'm doing a mitzvah, everything else doesn't exist. The world stops. So I'm doing kibbutz of aim right now. So there is no other mitzvah that's coming my way. So, when do we say that kibbutz of aim loses? Kibbutz of aim loses to another mitzvah, but kibbutz of aim doesn't lose to another shel reshus. So for the person who's involved in kibbutz of aim, so he's doing kabbutz of ichmes imecha. So here in mucham zuman, I'm doing a mitzvah. When tefillin comes my way, when tzuken comes my way, when shofar comes my way, it didn't come my way. For me to stop and blow shofar right now, that's to stop kibbutz of aim and do a davar shel reshus. So kol zman that I started the kibbutz of aim, everything else is a davar shel reshus. So I just continue what I'm doing. It would be awesome for me to stop. But when I say no, Isaac mitzvah potter mitzvah doesn't mean that the other mitzvahs don't exist. It means they do exist. It just means they've been pushed to the bottom of the list. Oh, wait a second. Bottom of the list. But med devar memurim, things are pushed to the bottom of the list. when it's one mitzvah going up against another mitzvah. They're both mitzvahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then one mitzvah pushes the other to the bottom. But Kibra V'Eim can, by definition, never push other mitzvahs to the bottom. That's exactly what Ani Hashem, Kuchem Chem V'Chlodi, tells me, that all other mitzvahs always rise to the top. So Kol Zman, that other mitzvah exists, if it's there, if it's on the risk, if it shows up on the screen, then it automatically goes to the top and tells me, stop the Kibra V'Eim, go put on tefillin, and you'll figure out if you have time later. So l'chora, the answer to that question is part of the lomda shashayla. What is the very nature? What's the essence of kibra of oisik b'mitzvah? Does oisik b'mitzvah mean that the second mitzvah is command aleisa? That it's command aleisa vis-a-vis kibra v'aim also? Or do I say no? The second mitzvah is not command. It doesn't exist. It exists, and therefore I usually have a freebie. Usually the first mitzvah I'm doing is higher. Here kibra v'aim by definition is going to lose. So we have to go back to Osik B'mitzvah Sugi and figure out what's the answer to that question. So that question may very much depend upon a very important discussion that we should have concerning this principle of Osik B'mitzvah Patur B'mitzvah. It's a very basic question, almost an ABC question, in the Sugi of Osik B'mitzvah Patur B'mitzvah, where we should are all barred with this kasha. Taisus, right? Everybody has to ask this kasha. Osik B'mitzvah Patur B'mitzvah is a Gevaldike principle. It could basically exempt me from doing all mitzvahs in the world. Why? Right now, I'm wearing tzitzis. So I'm hitting mucham zum, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of wearing tzitzis. Any other mitzvahs I say that comes my way, I don't have to do. Comes time to daven, I don't have to daven this morning. An ani comes and asks me for tzedakah. Remember we learned the last week that oisik mitzvah, part of the mitzvah is a pota from tzedakah. So I never have to, a new tour. Like I imagine, a guy knocks at my door and I say to him, I'd love to give to you. It seems like a very, very valid cause. But right now, I don't have to give tzedakah. So yes, why not? I'm pota, I'm wearing tzitzis right now. So Taisus asks, V'chim ashkan davar kazeh, misha lovesh tzitzis, misha meniach tefillin, yipata from ala mitzvahs, you don't do anything, just put a tzitzis in the morning and then you can do whatever you want. He said, lo shem, it's absurd to say such a thing. So what's the answer to that question? Sometimes it's like, is there a legal term? What's called when you present something, when you have lawyers over here, you present something that's absurd, what's it called, the Latin term, absurdium or something? What's that? Ad absurdium, whatever it's called, okay. Doctors could also give the legal. Okay, so yeah, sometimes you have to, you could prove a point by saying that if you don't accept what I'm about to say, then you're going to be led to the point of absurdity. So Taisus and the Rad asked the Kasha, if you don't do something about this cloud, you're going to be led to the point of absurdity. So what do you do to the cloud? So what is the answer to this Kasha? What is it about the cloud, mitzvah, that clearly doesn't apply under these circumstances? So there's a major machlekes of Rishonim between Taisus and the Rad, what the answer to this question is. So Taisus writes in a few places that the answer is that Eisik B'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah, only applies when it's E.F. Shalakayim Shinayim. When it's impossible to do both. I'm doing a mitzvah, and if you're going to tell me to stop doing the mitzvah, so then I will stop that. I won't be able to do the first mitzvah at the same time. So then the cloud is Eisik B'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. But if it's E.F. Shalakayim Shinayim, says Taisus, then the whole cloud goes out the window. The whole cloud doesn't exist. B'chi Agav, under these circumstances, the Torah never gave me the p'tur. I'm wearing tzitzis. So the ani comes and asks me for tzedakah. So that's it's absolutely kemshenim. How in the world is taking money out of my pocket going to affect my ability to give him tzedakah? So that's called going to tais. That's called efshel kemshenim. I'm wearing tefillin, and now an ani comes. So of course I have to give him the tzedakah. So that's called efshel kemshenim. Whenever it's efshel kemshenim, that was never included in the principle in the first place. And the Ran says it's not true. The Ran says that oisik b'mitzvah part of the mitzvah applies across the board, completely, totally. So says the Ran. So what's the answer to the tzitzis tefillin dilemma? So the Ran says you have to look at the lashon of the Gemara very carefully. The Gemara uses the lashon oisik b'mitzvah part of the mitzvah. What the lashon of the Gemara does not use is mekayem mitzvah part of the mitzvah. Says the Ran, not every mekayem mitzvah is an oisik b'mitzvah. Let's say Marshall, there's a mitzvah on Shabbos to rest from doing melacha. On Shabbos morning, I'm sitting around, I'm resting from doing malacha. I'm a kayim mitzvah. I'm not an oisik mitzvah. Oisik mitzvah is much more than just technically getting points in Shemayim for getting a mitzvah being done. Oisik mitzvah means a physical involvement. I'm mamish doing something. So right now, I am being mekayim mitzvah. I'm wearing tzitzis. We're all wearing tzitzis. So we're all being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. In a few minutes from now, we're all going to be wearing tefillin. So we're all going to be mekayim mitzvah of tefillin. But that's not called Oisek B'mitzvah's tefillin. The Oisek B'mitzvah's tefillin is the 2 seconds that it takes to put the tefillin on. I take the tefillin out of the box, and I'm putting it on, taking it out the box, putting it on my own. That's called being Oisek in the midst of a tefillin. When I pick up my talis and I'm about to throw it up, that's called being Oisek in the midst of tzitzis. After I'm Oisek, the continuation is the kiyum mitzvah, not the being Oisek in the mitzvah. So as the Ran, Oisek B'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah across the board. Whether it's Efshel Kayim Shneim, if Efshel Kayim Shneim, if I'm physically being Oisek in a mitzvah, then I don't have to worry about any other mitzvahs. Finished. But if I'm merely being Mekayim as a mitzvah, so then the whole klal of Oisek mitzvah doesn't apply. So that's the background to our discussion. We still haven't gotten to what we have to get to. We still have to try to figure out what's the din. Is Oisek mitzvah part of a mitzvah mean the second mitzvah doesn't exist legabre, or it exists albeit with the p'tur? So we have to remember this background. It's the next part of tomorrow, Shia. We have to remember this machlokes tais in the Ran and see how this machlokes tais in the Ran plays out within the sugyas of Oisek mitzvah part of a mitzvah, and eventually it's going to be the underlying principles in the machlokes tais in the Ran are going to come back to us in terms of our sugyas. So we're really learning a sugya of Kibra Vehim, but we're looking at it through the eyes of a clash between Kibra Vehim and Oisek mitzvah. We have to hopefully learn the sugya of Oisek mitzvah and then eventually come put the pieces back together. So that without the Ramah Kabbalah, that's what we're trying to do. So maybe we'll see by tomorrow. We'll put the Ramah Kabbalah back together. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh.